As always, it is good to be back on the Lord's Day evening. I wish that more brethren would see the importance of worshiping every opportunity that they possibly can. And some who are perhaps able to be back on Sunday evening sometimes do not show. I think they miss a lot. And this evening we're going to look into the life of an Old Testament character. Old Testament characters are important because God recorded the events that took place in their lives. And we're not going to study this Old Testament character for the sake of anything other than his character. If you entitle your little notes, the title of the sermon this evening is The Character of Gideon. I have two texts this evening, as you'll notice if you saw that in your bulletin. The first is Judges chapter 6, verses 11 and following, and mark Judges chapter 6, because in Judges chapter 6 and 8, we're going to spend a few moments this evening. We're going to see some events that took place in the life of Gideon, and we're going to see how that these things can help us. First, Judges chapter 6, verses 11 through 13. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, the Abiezrite. I'll get it right in a minute. And that's not right either. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, then why then has all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our father told of us, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Oftentimes we look at the external situation that exists or the consequences that exist and don't consider the situation that occurred or the people who participated in those things which brought these things upon us. And oftentimes, it is we ourselves. Now turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32. This particular text tells us that time would fail to tell of Gideon's faith. It says, And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and of Samuel, and of the prophets. And we could take these, just these Old Testament characters, and spend an evening and a week, maybe, talking about the character of each. But we want to focus just upon one. We want to focus upon Gideon and his character. We're going to spend a bit of time in Judges chapter 6 and a few other chapters there. Mark your Bibles if you have not done so already. We're going to return there several times. And know that it's a good thing for us to study in the Old Testament. We are told in the New Testament that things were written aforetime or written for our learning. And so let us learn as we open our Bibles this evening, as we turn to investigate the character of Gideon. And I want you to keep this in mind as I continue to speak this evening, as you to consider the things that are said, that one of the things that we need to learn from this sermon is that even with all of our confessed faults and flaws, we can still serve God faithfully. We can still be beneficial in the kingdom. We can still help souls come to a knowledge of the truth. But to do so, we're going to have the character of Gideon. Now, returning to Judges chapter 6, we see that the Midianites had been raiding the Israelites for a number of years. But I want to point out that the predicament that Israel was in was one of their own doing. They themselves brought trouble upon themselves by not following the word of the Lord. And that's what this verse tells us. They had sinned against the Lord. Now, the Lord dealt with people in a direct way, his people, Israel, in a direct way many times. He caused them to go into captivity a number of times. He caused them to be besieged and afflicted by other nations many times, but every time it was because of punishment that they had brought upon themselves. The only captivity that they went into that they did not bring upon themselves was the captivity into Egypt. And following that one, of course, we know that they were delivered. They were taken toward the promised land. And of course, we know also that their actions at the very edge of the wilderness cost them dearly. But let's get back to Gideon here. Judges chapter 6 and verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. We need to be aware of the fact that what was going on with them was exactly what they brought upon themselves. And that does not mean that within that nation that there were still people, that doesn't mean that there were not people of character. There were some people who were still faithful. There were some people who still believed in God. There were some people who still strove to serve God. What did the Midianites do? If you have your Bibles open, and you should by now, to Judges chapter 6, we'll see in verse 4 that they would destroy the produce of the earth. Imagine working diligently, trying to raise a crop, and your enemy come in and tread it down with their animals and their chariots and that sort of thing. This, of course, would result in poverty. All of a sudden, that you've been working for all year, it's about time for the harvest, and the enemy comes and tramples it. Then you have no food. You have poverty. And again, in verse 10, the people had not fully obeyed God. The latter part of verse 10 says, but ye have not obeyed my voice. But God always shows mercy to his people. He provides the way, and he did so here again. He had his messenger come and speak to Gideon. There's some things about Gideon that we need to discuss, we need to look into, to know the character of Gideon. First and foremost, Gideon was timid. How did Gideon consider himself? He may very well have thought he was not worth a whole lot. Stop and think about it. Verse 11 tells us that he was in a wine press threshing wheat. Now, he was doing this somewhat secretly, but it is a bit of a menial job. What little bit they could eke out of the land because of their enemies trotting it down, because of their enemies oppressing them. And keep in mind, this had been going on for about 7 years. He was approached by an angel of the Lord, and he questioned the situation. We read part of that in our text. He says, but now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Where are the miracles that we had once done? He was basically saying, why are we in that mess? Perhaps he hadn't considered that Israel as a nation brought it upon themselves. But as you look to verse 15, we will see that he considered himself weak. Wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. He considered himself not very important. He was timid, figuring perhaps that he could not do anything, that he was not a great warrior, that he was not one that God could use. Now, how do we think of ourselves? We may think that we are a little bit weak. There's not a one of us that didn't have something in our lives, the sin perhaps that does so easily beset us, or something that easily trips us up, that sort of thing. We're all human. We make mistakes. We have flaws. Hopefully these character flaws are not such that they will impede us from serving God and doing his will. And many have little to no confidence in themselves, or they have some other fault that they think would hinder their efforts. So what did Gideon do? It seemed to be the thing back then to ask the Lord for a sign. Help me see the way, Lord. Help me know why or how. In verse 17 of chapter 6, I believe it is, he says, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talk with me. He wanted to know. He wanted proof. We can't do that because God doesn't deal with us as he did in the days of Gideon and under Old Testament times. That law has been fulfilled. That law has been carried out. The Lord has, Christ has come. And that was the purpose that people were set aside for God to bring the Christ. But he asked for a sign. And we know what that sign. He had the dew coming and the dew not coming and different times. Finally became convinced. But how did the Lord consider Gideon? We looked and we saw that how did Gideon consider himself? He considered himself weak, the least of his father's people. How did the Lord consider him? Back up to verse 12. The Lord considered him a mighty man of valor. He just needed to be directed properly. He just needed to be assured that he would be able to do as God would have him to do. One who was able to save Israel, verse 14. A man the Lord was with. Oftentimes I think people are afraid that the Lord has deserted him. Isn't that what Gideon said? Well, you've left us. You've gone off and not watching over us. What does the Lord say? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When we have the Lord's support, in other words, following God's plan, who can overthrow us when we walk with God? That's what Gideon needed to grasp. That's what we need to grasp. And in verse 23, he told Gideon not to be afraid. Now, do we look at ourselves the same way that the Lord looks at us? I suspect not, and I can tell you why. A lot of people are not honest. When God looks upon one of us, he looks upon the inner man. He knows exactly what our thoughts are. He knows exactly what our fears are. He knows exactly what our foibles are. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10, as the Apostle Paul was directed to write to these brethren in this second letter, directed by the Holy Spirit, having had already straightened out several different issues that Corinth had, addressing a number of different things, promising to take care of some other things when he did arrive, and that was his plan to again go to them, the Spirit had him write this second letter, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. And we read it, and on the surface we say, how can you take pleasure in problems and harm and distresses? And that's what the Spirit had Paul write. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. And then the explanation follows. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Meaning what? When I come to the realization that I must lean on the Lord, there's my strength. And that's what we all need to know. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 33 through 35, these Hebrew brethren were reminded that those with faith in God were made strong in times of weakness. Those who believed in God. And it's not something that's just a New Testament concept. These are talking about people in the Old Testament times. They were able to accomplish because of faith and the willingness to serve God and do his will as he commanded. Notice the description here. Hebrews 11, 33 through 35. Who through faith, those people that listed it or just already enumerated, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. In short, regardless of all our human frailties, all we need to do is believe in God and do what he says. And Gideon, being timid, was also courageous. As we return to Judges, this time in chapter 6, beginning in verse 25, we're going to see what he did. We're going to look at a few verses between verses 25 and 31. But notice in verse 25 of Judges chapter 6, "And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath." Notice, if you will, that it was his own father who had erected some sort of altar to Baal. And Gideon was told, "And cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt offering, a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down." He was still a little bit fearful of his father. He did this at night, verse 27 tells us. "And when you stand in the face of the Lord," or in the face of trouble, "and you stand with the Lord, you can't have courage because you are going to have enemies. You need that courage, and God has provided for us." And notice, if you will, if you glance down at chapter 6, verses 31 and 32, his father, I have no doubt, was probably livid. What have you done? You've torn down my altar. You've cut down the groves. Why did you do this? Why, this is where I worship. He ended up supporting his son. He ended up defending his son. What point do we take from this? You'll never know what will happen unless you take action. You'll never take action unless you have courage. And Gideon found the courage within himself to do what God said, even in the face of displeasing his father, of upsetting his friends and neighbors, of defying those of his own nation, and standing firmly with God. Perhaps one of the best remembered stories about Gideon is found in Judges chapter 7. We're going to see in verses 1 through 25, and we're not going to read all of those, that he led 300 men in a battle against the camp of the Midianites. First, he told him, he says, "You're going to bring your army." And then he told him there were way too many people. And if those people were to march upon the Midianites and they were to come out victorious, they would ascribe the victory to themselves. You know how man is, right? Look what I did. Look what I was able to accomplish. Look what I did with all of these people. Or the people would say, "Look what we did." Chapter 7, verse 2. "The people that are with thee are too many." And so he whittled it down. You know, Gideon didn't question the Lord now. He did what the Lord said. He observed the men. Some of them stuck their face right down in the water. Others knelt down by the water and cupped water in their hands. And God selected out those. 300 men, verse 7. And the Lord gave Gideon information also to strengthen his resolve. Look at verses 9 and following. He says, "Arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand." In other words, the time is right. The army has been prepared. The right individuals are gathered together in force. And now is the time for action. God, using Gideon, routed the Midianites. In verse 22 of chapter 7, "The 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout the host. And the host fled to Bethshittah and Zeroth, and in the border of Abel-Meholah, unto Tabith." In other words, they beat the Midianites. 300 men, just as God said. Lesson: it takes courage to face our own fears and obey the Lord. Can you imagine The Lord says, I want you to gather everybody you can. And I want you to cover this whole neighborhood. I want you to be able to go out and speak to everyone in the neighborhood about their souls. And then the Lord says, well, now, wait a minute. There's way too many people here. Cut it down to about 12 people. What's your first thing you're going to say? Why can't we get it done so much faster with all these people? Can't we get it done so much better with all these people? No, the commandment of the Lord is cut it down to about 12. Now, he's not going to do that. And if we just have 12 people, we can't accomplish what God has said. We can take the gospel to the lost. We can encourage the brethren that are weak and stumbling. But we have to overcome our fears. And it takes courage. What did the Lord tell them? In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. When Jesus was here on the earth, he told his apostles many different things. Things that would help them. Things that would encourage them. Things that would help them to face the difficulties that were ahead of them. And it's a message that applies to us as well, because he came to prepare and provide and purchase the church. What did he tell them? Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And you say, well, now that was before the church started. Well, that's fine. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. We're going to see there also that God has provided within his word so that we can understand. He's given us the things that will strengthen our resolve. He gives us the things in his word that gives us courage. As the Apostle Paul was directed to write to his protege Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He's given us the faculties to consider what he has said. He's given us love for one another and for lost souls. He's given us the power of the gospel, and that will cause fear to dissipate. So while Gideon was timid, he was also courageous, but equally faithful. In Judges chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, you'll see that he stayed humble even in his successes. Man today has a problem. They become a little bit successful. They become a little bit good at what they do, at what they worked for 12, 14, 15, 20 years or whatever. And they began to become haughty. And even when people question the situation, even when he was challenged by others, he remained humble. And of course, the Lord gave him what to say, no doubt. Notice here in verses 1 through 3. The men of Ephraim said unto him, why hast thou served us thus, that thou called us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? Now, before I go on, notice that they did chide with him sharply. Some people just can't be pleased. If you didn't call them to go fight with the Midianites, they're going to be upset. If you did call them to fight with the Midianites, they're going to be upset. Hey, they're people. They're going to be upset. But notice how this was addressed. He said unto them, what have I now done, or what have I done now in comparison to you? Don't look at my successes and say, how come I couldn't have part of it? He said, is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian or Ebenezer. And what was I able to do in comparison to you? Oh, we did have a part in it, although indirectly. Their anger was abated toward them when he said that. These men were envious, but Gideon praised them and minimized himself. Why? Because it was the Lord's work that needed to be done. It was the Lord's directions by which it was done. It was the benefit for all of the Jews and even the men of Ephraim. We'll see what happened as we look on into Judges 8, beginning in verses 5 and reading through 13. We're not going to read all of the verses. We're going to maybe touch on verses 5 and 8. But as you turn over there, he pursued the Midianites even with little sustenance. When his army was hungry, it was 300 people, but it still takes food to sustain a small army. In chapter 8 and verse 5, he said unto the men of Succoth, "Give, I pray thee, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint. For I am pursuing after Zebath and Zalmunna, kings of Midian." The mission was on. The battle was raging. And they needed food. Verse 8. And he went up thence to Penuel, spake unto them likewise. And the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Succoth that answered him. In other words, hey, we've got enough for us. We appreciate you. We appreciate your efforts, but we can't help you. He was denied. Because he was doing God's work, because he was asking them to help out, the cities of Succoth and Penuel were corrected. Look at verse 16. And they took the elders of the city and the thorns of the wilderness and briars with them. He taught the men of Succoth. They were punished for their refusal to help one do God's work. He chastised the elders of the city. He tore down the tower of Penuel, verse 17. Yet he had no reason to be haughty. He had no reason to be prideful. Remember what Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18 tells us? You probably don't even have to turn there. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. What was Gideon doing? He conquered the enemies of Israel. We saw in chapter 6 and verse 12 that he captured them. We saw in verse 18 of chapter 6 that he tried them for their crimes. It was a very poignant moment when I was reading this and seeing he didn't just take out vengeance upon them. What did he do? He tried them for their crimes. Let's see if they are guilty. And then when they were guilty, the punishment was named and they were executed. Every bit of this was done justly as God would have it done. He was not acting on his own instructions. He was not acting on his own intuition. He was doing as God was commanding him to do. People oftentimes say, well, why would God have somebody go and kill a bunch of people? There's a purpose behind every commandment God has ever given. There was a benefit to every commandment that God has given. And notice that it was done, if such can be done, decently and in order. It was in accordance to what God had said when they were tried, and then they were punished according to God's law. You know what happened just after that? Gideon is a hero. Everybody's looking up to him. Look in verses 22 and 23. When a person is a maritime hero or wartime hero, they want to oftentimes shove them right into some sort of office. Remember what happened in our country? The one who led the forces against the British. He became our first president. But man will typically do that kind of thing. In beginning in verse 22, we see the men of Israel said unto Gideon, "Rule thou over us, both thou and thy son's son also." If I'm not mistaken, we're in the book of Judges. God hadn't set up a king over Israel, had he? What did the people want? This kernel was planted right then. Later on, they said, "Give us a king. We want to be like everybody else." But what did the people say? "Rule over us. And then when you die, put your son in place." Why? "For thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian." Come on. Who delivered them? God did. Using Gideon, who was timid, but was courageous and also faithful. Gideon said unto them, "I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you." These were God's people. These were the children of God. Yes, they were in dire straits at times because of their own actions. They were in captivity because of their own actions, and they would not have been had they served God faithfully. And he was saying, the Lord shall rule over you. They tried to make him king. Even one of Gideon's character can make mistakes. This shows us to never put our trust in our fellow man. Oftentimes I think man does that. They trust another man. God gave a brief peace to Israel because of Gideon's character and his obedience. And Gideon ultimately made some mistakes. Beginning in Judges 8, and beginning in chapter 8, verse 24, we want to see what he did. Gideon said unto them, I would desire a request of you that you should give me every man the earrings of his prey, for they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. It seems that some of the fashion trends that are such today, where the young men wear earrings, was fashionable back then among the Ishmaelites. And they had captured these people, and they had taken from them their jewels, their paraphernalia. And they answered, we will willingly give them. And they spread a garment and did cast therein every man the earrings of his prey. And the weight of the golden earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, besides ornaments and collars and purple raiment that was on the kings of Midian, and besides the chains that were about their camel's neck. And Gideon made an ephod thereof, and put it in his city, even in Ophrah. Now, there would have been absolutely nothing wrong with a memorial. Look at the great thing that God did for us. Look upon this thing and remember what God did for us using Gideon. But we don't want to stop reading there, because the next portion of that particular verse says, and all Israel went whoring after it, which thing became a snare unto Gideon and to his house. Because Gideon did what God said, Midian was subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more. And because Gideon had done what God had said, because of the character of Gideon, even though he was timid, he found courage and he was faithful. There were 40 years of quietness in the days of Gideon. But how soon it is when that man died, Israel returned to their worship of Baal. Think about it. I can recall right off the top of my head one other, that Israel was faithful as long as he lived and as long as the elders who overlived him, and that was Joshua. History is repeating itself here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 through 31 tells how our character should be molded today. Our character is what we make it. The character of Gideon is necessary. We may be timid. We may be shy. We may be afraid. We may have all sorts of character flaws, but we can be courageous and we can be faithful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 and 31, we read, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. If indeed we will keep our focus upon God and his word, we can develop the character of Gideon, and we can serve God faithfully without making some of the mistakes that Gideon made later on. Gideon was timid, but courageous and faithful. And in being courageous and faithful, he was of great benefit to the Lord and to Israel, God's people. He was a child of God because he was born a Jew and therefore was in a covenant relationship with God. And that was under the Old Testament law of God. We are now under the New Testament law of God. And God's New Testament plan requires birth as well. Spiritual birth. But it also requires continued fidelity. Those willing to be born again in full accordance with God's word and God's plan can become a child of God today. Those who have allowed themselves to be timid, to be afraid, to stumble and fall, or those who inadvertently have found themselves separated from God because of sin, can bolster up their character today and return to a faithful relationship with God. And then we can carry out the message, the mission that the Lord told His disciples, that we are to take the gospel to everyone. As we take the gospel to everyone, we want them to also have the opportunity to be born into the kingdom, to be part of God's family, to be part of the church, which we talked about this morning. And in order to do that, they must do some things. They must hear the word of God. John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. This is Jesus speaking. And a word from Jesus, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. So a person must hear the word of God. They must also believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. One who desires to be a child of God must repent. They must turn away from that life of sin, from the flaws that they have, striving always to do what God would have them do. In Luke 13:3-5, Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And one always must confess. They must be willing to publicly confess the very fact that is the foundation of Christianity, and that is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 36, we see, and as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. Philip had been teaching the eunuch. The eunuch was reading. He picked up at the same place, and he preached unto him Jesus. They came to a certain water. The eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And evidently, up to that point, he had not confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Because Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then, one is to be baptized into Christ. You know, I hear people all the time talking about being baptized into Christ, or as they say, getting baptized, and they'll wait. They'll wait. There's no reason to wait. I can show you countless conversions where people heard the gospel. They realized and understood their soul's sad condition, and they immediately responded. Paul, when he was Saul, tarried just a little bit, and the Lord sent Ananias to him. And in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, we see that Ananias said to him, and now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Having done these things, a person becomes a child of God. They're born into the family of God. And then we must strive to live faithfully unto death. We start building our character so that we might serve God acceptably and faithfully. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20 shows the opposite of that. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. And yes, sadly, some don't remain faithful. Are you a child of God? Have you allowed sin to separate between you and God? No. That makes you an erring Christian. And know that that is a character flaw that will follow you into eternity. Something that you do not desire. But God has provided. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25 and 26, folks are supposed to tell you. The faithful are supposed to tell those who are in error. how to address that. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And verse 26, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. How? Through repentance and prayer. They're already children of God. They just need to come back to God. And they need to turn away from that sin that is separating between them and God. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22 tells us this. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. What do we learn from Gideon tonight? We might have character flaws. We may be timid. We may be weak. We may be afraid. But we can be courageous and we can be faithful. There may be some here tonight who have not heard these things to do to become a child of God or what to do in case there is sin in your life. Address those issues now as together we stand and we sing the hymn of invitation.